Today, how bushfires may impact tourism. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. This week, the Australian Tourism Export Council told the Australian Financial Review that cancellations by tourists from large markets such as the US, the UK and China were hurting the industry and could cost the country at least $4.5 billion by the end of the year. There have been mass cancellations and bookings are in some areas down by half. And this may not be just a short-term blip. With pictures of the smoke last week in Melbourne and prior to that Canberra and Sydney, all adding to the concerns that potential tourists may have. The hazardous ratings were worse than in many industrial cities around the world. And whilst Australia is a large country, you know, it takes 5 hours to fly from Sydney to Perth or so, the bushfire impact is bigger than just the areas where bushfires are still burning. And the lasting damage to Australia as an environmentally sensitive country and worth a visit might be short. In addition, it's estimated that more than 1 million wild animals and birds may have perished, and in some areas, species like koalas and platypus are threatened with extinction. Now, the government announced that they would spend $76 million on marketing campaigns to underscore to international and interstate visitors that Australia is open for tourists to visit. The bulk of the money is to be spent on overseas advertising. And Prime Minister Scott Morrison said Australian tourism is facing, quote, its biggest challenge in living memory, and described the funding drawn from the government's National Bushfire Recovery Fund as an urgent injection of funds for businesses impacted by the bushfire crisis. The government's package includes $20 million for marketing to domestic travellers, $25 million for global tourism campaigns to advise international visitors that Australia is safe and open for business, as well as $10 million towards creating new attractions in bushfire-affected regions of the country. So today, I wanted to look at the tourist data for Australia to see how important it is and to examine where the tourist dollar comes from and where it goes to. And we will need to look at both international visitors and separately local visitors, including those from other states. Some of the reporting in the mainstream media has only told part of the story. And then I'm going to try and estimate the potential impact. According to data from Austrade, total tourism generated $149.6 billion to the year 30 September 2019. Within that, domestic overnight travel had 115.5 million visitors, spending a record $79.1 billion, while foreign visitors generated $45.2 billion in income to the economy, up 4.7% on the previous year. And this was generated from 8.7 million international visitors, up 2.5%, with an average spend per trip of $5,219. And data published by Tourism Research Australia using ABS data shows that in 2018-19, the total tourist consumption was $152 billion, which resulted in $60.8 billion in GDP contribution, which is 3.1% of the national total. And it employed 666,000 persons, or 5.2% of the Australian workforce. But note that this value is a derived estimate according to the ABS, as we don't measure tourism directly. In fact, tourism is our largest services export, contributing $39.1 billion to Australia's economy in 2018-19. And this represents 8.2% of all goods and services exports and places the industry fourth overall behind iron ore, coal and natural gas. But we actually have a tourist trade deficit, with visitors coming here exports of $39.1 billion from international visitors to Australia, while Australians travelling overseas imports were $58.3 billion. The tourist GDP contribution has been growing at between 5 and 6% for some years and is up from around $38 billion in 2010-11 to $60 billion last year. And this has seen tourism grow from 2.9% share of national GDP to 3.1% share. So now, let's look in more detail at the tourist sector and at international trade first. Within the $45 billion, $17.1 billion came from holidays, $13.2 billion from education, $7.5 billion from visiting family and relatives, $4.1 billion on business, and $1.2 billion for other reasons. Visitors from China accounted for $12.3 billion of spend, of which $3.2 billion was holidays and $7.1 billion on education. And this came from 1.3 million visitors with an average spend per trip of $9,235. The United States was second with $4 billion spent, of which $2 billion was spent on holidays and $300 million on education. This came from 771,000 visitors with an average spend per trip of $5,200. Next was the United Kingdom with $3.3 billion spent and $1.4 billion out on holidays and $1.3 billion on visiting friends and families, and just $68 million on education. And we had 669,000 visitors from the UK, and their average spend was $4,959. And New Zealand accounted for $2.6 billion in spend, of which $1.1 billion was holidays, $0.7 billion was on families and friends, and just $76 million was on education. And interestingly, they accounted for 1.3 million visits, and their average spend was just $2,032, which may tell us something about our Kiwi cousins. Across the states and territories, New South Wales received $11.5 billion, of which $3.6 billion was for holidays, $4.7 billion for education, and $1.4 billion for visiting relatives. The average spend per trip was $2,610, and of this, around $1 billion was from regional New South Wales, mainly holidays at $381 million and education at $362 million. Victoria accounted for $8.8 billion, of which $2.3 billion was holidays, $4 billion was education, and $1.5 billion was visiting relatives and friends. The average trip there was worth $2,800, and regional Victoria earned $594 million from international tourism, of which $249 million was holiday-related. In Queensland, international tourism was worth $6 billion, including $2.8 billion for holidays, $1.7 billion for education, and $830 million for visiting families and friends. Within that, the Gold Coast generated $1.3 billion, including holidays at $755 million, and education at $335 million. Brisbane was $2.8 billion, comprising holidays of $644 million and education at $1.3 billion. And regional Queensland generated $1.8 billion, of which holidays was $1.4 billion. Turning to local tourism, that generated $79.1 billion, with an average spend of $694 a trip and, on average, over a four-night stay. Of that, $35.2 billion was holidays, $13.9 billion was visiting relatives and friends, $17.8 billion was business-related, and $12 billion was for other reasons across the states. $23.2 billion was spent in New South Wales, with regional New South Wales collecting $13.9 billion, $16.5 billion in Victoria, with regional Victoria earning $7.1 billion, $19 billion in Queensland, with the Gold Coast generating $3.7 billion, and regional Queensland $10.2 billion, $5 billion in South Australia, $8.5 billion in Western Australia, $2.3 billion in the Northern Territories, and $2 billion in the ACT, and $2.7 billion in Tasmania. So, a couple of observations. International revenue from education is more significant than overseas people visiting on holidays or to see relatives, so it will be important to reassure potential students that Australia is safe and open for education services. To that end, the pictures of smoke in Sydney and Melbourne are extremely damaging when it comes to selecting a country in which to study. And as degrees in particular can take 3 or 4 years, this could create a long-term hole in GDP. Local travel by Australians can generate significant income. So focus on reassuring locals it is safe to travel to far-affected areas will be important. but many will likely stay away until the fires are out. And as of today, there are still more than 80 burning in New South Wales alone. In fact, my read of Morrison's announcement is that it is more to do with public perception here of how he is handling the bushfires after earlier bloomers than really making a difference. For that, we need to have the fires extinguished and we need strategies to mitigate future risks. So to me, $76 million is a pimple on the elephant and will make very little difference indeed. But we can estimate the potential loss, bearing in mind that more than half of tourists come over the summer period. So applying this to the proportion of areas directly impacted overall, I get around $4 billion in lost income. And if you add in a broader swathe of cancellations to Melbourne, Canberra, Adelaide and Sydney, and assume a 5% reduction in education spend, then I get an additional $8 billion in this financial year. Thus, if I put all the known data together, that $60 billion GDP number could easily drop by $12 billion over the next year, and the impacts could run over through 2021 and beyond. But to re-emphasise the point, there are indeed many areas of Australia still open for business, and it's a big country, but it's going to be a hard message to communicate while the fires are still running. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.